My name is Amanda Clark, but my maiden name is Michelson, which is M-I-K-E-L-S-O-N-S. And both my parents were born in Latvia. My mother was born in the city of Riga. And my father, Arnold, was born in Jelgava, which is south of Riga. My mother left Latvia on the second last boat from Ventspils in 1945, and then had to go to Germany in a DP camp, standing for displaced persons, with several other Latvians, and she also managed to find and locate the Didrums family. And I really don't know the length of time, I think it was like a year and a half or 2 years of the DP camp. And I know they had a lot of hardships there. Cabbage soup was a real treat because it was very hard to find. Going back to Latvia, the high school in Riga is where my mother graduated from. Prior to that, she was confirmed in Pavel Bosnitz. She has several cousins over there because my grandmother has a sister. So there's a lot of cousins on that side. We know very little about my father's side.
Do you know where he attended school?
No, my mother's parents were Olga and Arvid. And they lived in Riga. Actually, in 2006 we found the house, but it doesn't look like a house anymore. Something else is built on top of it. And my mother's best friend lived in the country. So there are a lot of stories, which I cannot remember, but a lot of traveling out to the country in Adaj, because that's where the Didrums family lived. So there are many, many stories that I have heard over time, and Ilga will remember some about traveling out to the country. So my mother was very close to the Didrums family, as was my grandmother. They had just finished school. They had just finished high school. And Ventspils is, and then I don't know where the boat stopped along the way. I just know that they ended up in the same DP camp. But whichever one Ilga stayed in is the same one my mother stayed in. So they stayed there for, I don't know, two years is my guess. And then my mother and Ilga both left for England. They were going to go to nursing school. And they were both working in a sanatorium. However, my mother chose to get married and left her work and married Arnold Michelson. And he was a sculptor by trade. And after they married, they settled down in Derby, England, and he worked at the Royal Crown Derby, which, if you go back today, the figurines are all numbered, and I was actually able to find his drawings. And for an exorbitant cost, I could have, he did birds at that time, I could have it remade. His actual figurine, they keep the molds. All the molds are numbered, and they keep the molds. So he was known. It wasn't very hard to find out. He was well known as a sculptor. They lived in, I don't know how long they lived in England, but they had two children. Firstborn was Via, and I know that she was born in Ashby de la Jute, England, which is somewhere close to Derby. I'd need a map to find it. And then next was my brother, and he was born in Derby. And then they, together as a family, decided to come to Canada. So that would have been 1953. And I know my mother has always told me they arrived. They arrived in Halifax. Halifax? Is there a port in Halifax? There is. That's where they arrived. And they didn't live there at all in Halifax. It was pre-decided that they would come to Edmonton because they were invited by the Zidrums family. So, Livia Arnold, Via, and child Arnas took the train all across Canada from Halifax and arrived in Edmonton to live in the basement of a teeny tiny house on 150th Street and 95th Avenue. And on the main floor lived the Zidrums family, and they actually had an outhouse at that time. So that was 1953, because there was so a house less than 900 square feet had family downstairs, and upstairs there was two parents, which would be grandparent age to me, and three children, which would be the same age in relativity to my mom. So that's five people upstairs, a whole family downstairs. But they have said many, many, many times that two streets over was Farmer's Field. And my father was working as a draftsperson, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom. She didn't work until the early 60s after the divorce. So she basically looked after the kids, and he was doing drafting and architectural work. There are actually two houses in St. Albert, which are his architectural creation. It would take me a lot to find them, but I have found them before. Mm-hmm. So they're still there. Mm-hmm. Or at least as of 5 years ago, they were still there. And then his main passion was wood carving. And that he did out of the basement. He had... Now, this is when they moved to St. Albert. So they moved from the Zidrums house in Edmonton on 150th Street to St. Albert. So then it was just the Michelson family. Mm-hmm. So it was Livia Arnold, Via, Arnas, and then in 1958, myself. And at that time, he did wood carvings out of the from the basement. He had a complete... There was no drywall put up or anything like that, but downstairs in the basement, he had a huge, what you would call a drafting table, and he would do wood carvings, but he was also a hunter for birds, pheasants, geese, ducks, and that was to support his income. It wasn't his only income, it was to support his income, and he actually got quite renowned once he moved to BC in 1963, and but some of his work is just fantastic. But when he was in Edmonton, he did a coat of arms for the Alberta legislature, which would have been the Alberta provincial coat of arms. It used to sit in the galley, which would be called the Speaker's Throne, where they meet. I don't know if it's still there, but that's where it was at. So he was commissioned for certain events, types of things. And he also did a bird for what we call 700 Wing. 700 Wing is the Canadian Air Forces. So it's just a gathering place where the Air Force people would meet, because the Armed Forces had their own place, the Air people had their own place. So he did a bird, beautiful bird, about 3 feet high, very similar. He trained in England, and I'm not sure, I believe he trained in Latvia too. My understanding is that Woodwork ran in the family line, but he made the most of his name. All my friends were Latvians, and I actually didn't learn English until kindergarten, because Latvian was spoken in the house. There was no English spoken in the house. And so Latvian was the language that was spoken at home. I never heard anything else. I had no need to speak English, because my playmates, so to speak, were either the children of Ilga Wasis or her sister, Via Finders. So we stayed. There was some children that were in St. Albert that I did play with, but there was not really a lot of communication until something wrong happened, but I couldn't speak English. So then when we moved in Edmonton in 1963, we lived in the house that Mr. Didrums, Ilga's father, had purchased and built onto after they left the house on 150th Street. So we lived on the main floor, because it was main floor and upstairs, and in the basement was a fully self-contained suite, and that's where Milda and Arvid Didrums lived. So my mother used to play the violin. There is a picture, which I don't have, but I have seen. She has the violin in her hand prior to leaving Latvia. And then when we were in 1963, when we were living in St. Albert, she actually had a short stint with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra as in the violin group. So I don't know if she was first or second, but she was with the ESO, because there is a picture of her in the required white top, long black skirt, and ESO. She didn't play for us, but she practiced. So, I mean, certainly there was lots of violin in the house, because she practiced. My sister had violin lessons. My brother had violin lessons, and at that time the teacher came to the house. So there was a fair bit of violin music. My mother's a lover of classical music, like the Mozart, Beethoven. So her violin, after she passed, actually went to my sister. It is, or so she said, I can't think of the one name, but it is the closest to a Stradivarius without being a Stradivarius. So she was very lucky to have that and to maintain that. And I actually had talked to the ESO, someone in the violin department of the ESO, because at one point she had considered selling it, and they had said that it would have to go down to Calgary to be re-oiled and just make sure that it's still properly held together as the violin should be. And so we had looked into it. And she had the papers on the violin, which stayed in the violin case. Yeah. So, in Ilga's house, there's pieces in Jan Snep's house, because they used to play poker. This is in the early 60s. On a bi-weekly or once a month basis, I'm not quite sure, but a lot of the Latvian men that lived in Edmonton participated in these poker. So I am without a doubt convinced that there's a lot of candlesticks and other small pieces around. My mom gardened a lot. She always had a large garden. That would include lettuce and lettuce and turnips and beets. And at the end of July, not end of August, every year she would make pickled beets by the mass, like not just 2-3 jars, we're talking 12, 14, 20 jars. She wasn't into making fruit preserves or anything. Hers was the pickled beets and the gardening and the turnips and dill. Dill was saved for the whole year. It was dried out and kept in little bundles for everybody. Dill, parsley. That's what I remember mostly. But the pickled beets was a yearly thing. Every single year. And Pavel Busnitz in Riga is Lutheran. So the Lutheran followed through. My sister was confirmed at St. John's Lutheran Church. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But more so after my father left. And I know in my sister's class, there were 3 Janusses. I can't remember all of their surnames, though. The St. John's Lutheran Church in Edmonton every year had Christmas functions for the children, as well as the proper services. They had the proper Easter service. So they were not a weekly church that you would go to, but special occasions. Also, our family, we were surname Avotinch, Avotins, and he was a Latvian minister out in Spruce Grove at the Latvian church on Golden Spike Road. So him and his wife lived there, and even though it was a long distance, he was the one who would come and do the services for St. John's Lutheran Church. So there was not a lot of needs to make a lot of plans, just arrange it with him, because he serviced his Lutheran church every week, which was beside his home. Okay. So, I don't know what's going to happen if the newer Latvians who are arriving and do arrive, they're not all necessarily Lutheran now, because there's been such a shift culturally. And I know that the attendance is getting lower and lower. The other problem, very large problem, is that the group that arrived in the early 50s, certainly the grandparents are deceased now. Now the next level is my mother, who passed at 80. No, it had to be. She didn't make 81. So her and Ilga, for example, she's passed. And the next generation, which be myself and my sister and brother, my sister does not follow the Lutheran. She bakes pidogs in December every year. She is very, very well known through the family. But she has 4 children, 3 of which are in Vancouver. So they... Baking pidogs is a very long process, and she gets a little assembly line going. They would be called bacon buns. Call for pidogs, like if you were having a get-together, or if it was St. John's Day, or any other typical holiday, pidogs would always be there. They're part and parcel of the Latvian culture. And I was really surprised in 2006 to find them in the store, in the bakery section. I had gone to Latvia in 1998, and at that time it was like entering a third world country. And as we left the Riga train terminal, I really wondered if I'd done the wrong thing, because I had brought my 10-year-old with me. And when you looked out the windows, there was apartments that were windows blown out, but the building was still standing, and I'm thinking, and the train station was so old, and the concrete was cracking, and I thought, oh my God, what have I done? Because for whatever reason, I stayed up. We got in at 2 in the morning, so I stayed up, because there's the towers of Latvia, which are the 5 different churches. So I stayed up to see that. My mother didn't sleep very long because she wanted to see that also. Then we left the train station, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what have I done? Because a lot of these buildings. And then we finally got to her cousin's place, and it was okay. They were normal people. We weren't in a house with shattered windows and everything. And when I went back in 2006, there was a complete 360-degree turnaround. There's stores there, like Superstore, like we have now, which didn't exist back then. The train station is completely rebuilt. I don't know a lot of train stations. I know Edmonton doesn't have one, but very modern, more like what England's train stations are. Very, very modern. The trains are different too. The trains are more modern now. And the city has done a lot for infrastructure. And now they've got, where we have Superstore, they have 3 major lines. And I can't remember what they're all called. So the problem now, right now, because I still have cousins, they would be second and third. There's no work. There's no work at all. So if you're on farmland, you're doing really well, because you can grow your own fruits and vegetables, and you know, you might have a couple cows or whatever. I don't know, but it's a little easier for the farmers than it is the city folk. And I found that we were much more guarded when we went to Riga by our cousins. We went to what's called the market, which is actually 5 huge tents all together. There was a lot of black market selling going on there. So we were always being protected from that type of approach, because they weren't necessarily Latvians, or they could be. We're going back in 2006. It had changed a lot. You didn't need the protection of your family. It's much more open, much more modern. Most people now speak English. In 1998, I know it's jumping back, but we did meet a young lad who was close to my son's age. And he, in school, he was born with Latvian, but in school, had to take Russian. He had to take German, and he was now learning English. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot more structured. It's a little freer now. But yeah, in 1998, we were warned, just sort of stay with your group. Don't go wandering off. And especially in the market, to hold on to your purse with dear life. And eye contact was not a good thing. Well, because we would not know who's Russian and who's Latvian. The Russians, real bitterness. And there was also the feeling from my cousins, which was embedded to us, not to trust the Russian. Doesn't matter what he's offering you, even if it is black market, do not trust it to be what it is or what it appears to be. No, when we went in 2006 and we were driving to Adaj, in June to celebrate Ligua, St. John's Day. The road that we were taking, my mother remembers seeing the Russians marching in just the same as we've seen on TV, how Hitler's troops used to march. She remembers the Russians coming in with their tanks and marching along the same way. And my understanding, there must have been a group behind the tanks in the first brigade, I'm going to call them, because the second wave was looting and taking what they wanted, and people were starting to hide. So this is now Eastern Latvia. So, of course, news traveled quickly, and the rest of Latvia was trying to get out at the other side. They left with what little they had. Drop everything and go. Bibles came. I know all the Bibles came. I know that my grandmother, who would have been on the same boat, she had what's called a Names Day book. The Latvians all have names days. And hers was different than they are now. So somewhere in the past 10 years, there's been a bit of a change, a modernization. So I know she brought that. She brought her Bible. Other than, you know, basically the clothes on their back. That's how she always told the story. Because they saw the one behind them go down. So was it shot by Russians or Germans? I don't know. My guess is going to be the Russians. Because apparently the Germans were a little nicer. And the thing my mother talked a lot about is the former president, Varadice, that she was on the same boat. So we tried to figure it backwards, and so Vara had to be about 5 years old. So she was on the same boat. So that's how my mom knows it was the second last boat, because they saw the last boat go down and sink. And they lived fearfully for however long it took to get out of port, because I have no idea, that they were also going to go down. But luckily they did not.